Our mission statement here for St. Paul's is, I think, very simple. We're following Jesus together in prayer, worship, and service. Following Jesus together in prayer, worship, and service. That's who we are. And I'd like to say that I believe we live that out largely. Today's gospel perfectly captures Jesus' leadership of us. Listen to just these two verses. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Jesus heals, and then he prays. He serves others, and then he prays. To be committed to both the outer work, like Jesus' healing, and the inner work, like the prayer, that is for us to both serve the poor and those in need at least once a week, and every day to pray, is hard. One of the things I know from myself and from my observation of human beings in general is that insofar as one is drawn to this work of being a Christian, one is more drawn to either the inner work of prayer or the outer work of service of the poor. But what we insist on here, and what Jesus does himself, is both, an equal commitment to both. Our discipleship groups have seven vows, and every time these small groups meet, we recite these seven vows. And did you all get one of these cards on the way in? Will you please take a look at them now? So, notice in the opening words that we always say essentially what I just said. We are gathered to help each other become better followers of Jesus Christ, which happens naturally when we love him. We become better followers of Jesus by holding each other in his love and by encouraging each other to practice the disciplines he taught. So what I'm suggesting this morning is that he's modeling two of these disciplines this morning. That is, healing or serving those who are in need and praying. Now, notice vow number one. By God's grace, I will set aside time regularly for prayer, praying to God in secret, and that's in quotes, working toward 20 minutes a day. Now, that quote is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he tells his disciples, when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray in secret. And then he teaches his disciples the words of the Lord's Prayer. It's all very concrete. However, we could just as equally have chosen this scriptural quote from today, following Jesus who, in the morning while it was still very dark, got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Either one would have been an excellent scriptural support for this vow, for this practice that we are all invited to enter into. One of my favorite things to do, and I'm going to do it again soon, is to offer a class by the name of Basic Discipleship, where, for several weeks in a row, I coach people in daily prayer. I begin with a teaching of how you set aside 20 minutes, what it's like to create a prayer space for yourself, the various things you can do with those 20 minutes, and then we meet for several weeks in a row with a check-in, so I continue to coach you getting into a rhythm in your daily life of prayer, following again the model of Jesus. Now, look at vow number three. So the first one is prayer, second one is worship, but the third one is service. By God's grace, I will endeavor to serve others everywhere I can, working toward giving an hour a week in service, remembering that Jesus said, surely as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. So that's a quote from later in Matthew from a famous passage called the Great Assize, where Jesus welcomes everybody who helped him in real life. And the disciples say, "When did we help you, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "Every time you clothe the naked or feed the hungry or visit those in prison or those who are sick." These very concrete actions. But again, in our passage from Mark, Jesus is not just teaching with his mouth. He's offering a witness of what it looks like to reach out into the world with hands of healing. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever cast out a demon. Maybe, who knows? But I have reached out to somebody who's lonely and alienated and cast out that little demon of loneliness, or offered food to somebody who was hungry. All of these things are in the same genre of reaching across these things that separate us from one another and from God, and healing that gap. One of the things that I am so moved by is the growing sense of serving those in need here at St. Paul's. Last week, we had the bishop visit, which happens every 3 or 4 years, a beautiful thing to have happen. And before the 10 o'clock service, we had a forum with the bishop, and there were about 20 of us in Duncan Hall, and I had invited about 8 or 10 people who I knew were very active in our outreach ministries to tell stories of what they were doing and why it was significant to them. And it was just this outpouring of stories, many of which I knew, but some of which I didn't, most of which the other people in the room didn't know, and the bishop knew hardly any of them. And one of the most amazing moments for me was that the archdeacon, one of the two archdeacons of the diocese, was there, and she goes around on these visits all the time. And at the end, she said, "I was really struck by how often these people, you from St. Paul's, mentioned the name of Jesus. Episcopalians don't usually do that." So, first of all, that was really cool. But the other thing is, I didn't notice it. Why? Because that's just what we do around here. What I'm suggesting is that when we reach out in healing, as we do, we're following Jesus, like our mission statement. Now, prayer, service, and worship. Prayer, worship, and service. In just 3 weeks, from this very spot, my close friend and colleague, Suzanne Willey, is going to be preaching at the service that culminates our Pray, Worship, Serve retreat. And she is going to be preaching on the one vow that we won't have considered in the retreat yet, the second one here. "By God's grace, I will praise God, offering myself and receiving God's love and blessings with the rest of my Christian community in weekly worship in the beauty of holiness." Fittingly, that will be a culmination to the entire weekend. That's always been something as Episcopalians that's drawn us, this very act of worship, with the understanding that when we worship together like this, it forms us, it forms our spirit, it forms our imaginations to become better disciples of Jesus. The service will come to an end, we'll have a great coffee hour, and then a bunch of us are going to take our new friends from Indiana and Florida and Nebraska and all over the country to the Marin Airport so that they can catch their flights back. My friends, this retreat in just a couple of weeks is a remarkable opportunity. The conversation last week with the bishop reveals that we know more than we've claimed for ourselves so far. I believe God has even more in store for us. At the annual meeting, after the 10 o'clock service, I will lay out 2 opportunities for any of you to be fully engaged in this retreat. And they are simply, if you would like to do the retreat, you can do it for free. The only condition is you have to do the whole thing. Or you can volunteer to, like, drive people to the airport or be hospitality or whatever, in which case you can come to the events on Saturday evening, the premiere of my performance piece, Pelican, and then a feast afterwards. All of these are only going to enable us to more deeply follow our mission. Once again, it is simply following Jesus together in prayer, worship, and service. Amen.